Hello and welcome to the Impact Exchange, a podcast where we discuss all things corporate social responsibility and the intersection with retail. My name is Rodney Sage and I'm your host. And on this episode, The Future of Commerce, we are joined by Katie Kung, Senior Manager of Social Impact at Shopify. Katie shares her insights and knowledge, having a unique perspective on the changing environment of commerce and how social impact has shifted and helped shape the future as we know it. Katie, I'm so excited to welcome you to the show today. How are you?
Hi, Ronnie. Yeah, great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. This is a really unique conversation. You know, typically we have retailers join the conversation on here, but I'm so excited to have you talk about your perspective at Shopify and what you're doing and what you're seeing over there. So start with, Katie, what is your role? Tell me about your role and what you do.
My name is Katie Kung. I'm the Senior Manager of Social Impact here at Shopify. So I lead a lot of the work that Shopify does for social entrepreneurs and social impact businesses. So a lot of the work that I do is, you know, harnessing the collective power of Shopify. I'm able to build educational tools and provide platform support to launch and grow successful social enterprises on our platform at Shopify. So I work really closely with merchants and awesome partners like yourself so I can better understand the space and the needs of our merchants so that we're delivering on the resources that these types of businesses need during these ever-changing times.
Yes, and I'm excited to dig into more what ever-changing times means to you and what you're seeing. But first, I want to define social impact, and I want to hear how you define it personally. And then I would love to hear how Shopify defines it and their POV on it. So let's start with you. What do you define as social impact?
It's kind of been an exciting couple of months. I mean, I'm always nerding out in this space. I'm sure you are too. And so I've kind of changed how I articulate my definition. And I really like this idea of intersectional environmentalism. It's an idea that I learned from the Slow Factory, one of our partners. It's this idea that it's not just focusing on people and human rights or only on sustainability and climate action. But it's this idea that the sweet spot of social impact is when, think about like a Venn diagram, it's like when the people and the planet side of things merge in the middle and your business or whatever enterprise you're working on is thinking about those two things together. So maybe it's you have sustainable packaging, but you're also giving back to your community through donations, something like that, where it's like they're coming together and they blend really nicely with your business brand.
Love it. So that intersection being where profits meets doing well and doing good kind of go hand in hand, and that can be for the people, the planet. So when you look at the way that merchants or businesses, and I want to dig in more on the merchant or retailer brand side on this. Of course, we could look at social enterprise as any type of enterprise, but obviously Shopify manages the most brands and retailers today out of any platform. What is Shopify's point of view on social impact? Where do they stand on it?
You know, we're kind of always thinking about this in our day-to-day, especially in my role. And so, you know, this idea of environmental intersectionality is certainly something that we're talking about with our merchants in our social impact community, but specifically about Shopify. So we really focus on leveraging what Shopify is best at. And so, you know, that's building products for entrepreneurs to start and scale their businesses. And it's also building our best-in-class R&D workforce. I like to think that we have the best in the world. And that's all kind of coming together to drive impact in the world. Thinking about just economic independence, just starting a business has an important multiplier effect in communities. And so we believe that the 1 million merchants on our platform is really, really an amazing thing for economies and for our world. Mm-hmm. And our team in particular, I mean, you already know what I do, focusing on support for social enterprises. But we also have folks on our team working with post-secondary students on experiential learning opportunities so that they can get their hands on Shopify and they can build a business within their courses. And we also have folks working on STEM education skills for youth. So working with global communities so that they can bring those skills to youth communities, which is super exciting. I'm sure you're familiar, Ronnie, you know, we have the Sustainability Fund as well. Mm-hmm. That's working on our offset initiatives with Stacy, our amazing director of the fund. So they've been working really hard to push that out in the past couple months. We have our diversity and belonging team. So even with their work, you know, they're working on areas of social impact as well. So it's definitely thinking about how we can create social impact in the space of entrepreneurship and tech, just because as Shopify, those are kind of our two main focuses.
Yeah, that's great. And I think when it's realized by the customer and what the customer may see, and more of a practical application here, you know, the fund that you have around environmental change, you know, you have it integrated in your shop app. There's the, I believe it's called Parcha, correct? How do you pronounce that?
We have shop app, and so we offset the purchases made in the app. And then we also have our offset app. So that does, you can download it as a Shopify merchant and you can help offset your shipping.
Awesome. So you guys are investing in this at Shopify. And you know, from the environmental side, you're making it easy for brands to create impact as part of that purchase, which is incredible, and help offset the carbon emissions as part of that. So really giving them the tools there. And then from a more community perspective, talk to me about this community that you're building. I recently saw that you launched a Slack group for enterprise for merchants in the social enterprise and other community members. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, we were able to do a bit of research last year, and one of the things that really stuck out to me as a theme was this hunger for community. A lot of these types of businesses, you know, they're well connected in their local business groups. Maybe they're in some sort of online membership, but they're kind of put in these groups with all other types of businesses. And there's no real way for them to talk and learn with one another about how to grow their specific social enterprise. Because, you know, while the fundamentals of these businesses are generally the same, there's a lot of things that are different. The materials that you're using are different. The way that you're allocating your revenue is different if you're doing a give back model, things like that. So we wanted to create a community where these folks could come together and they could talk about those specific issues and any challenges that they were having and learn from one another. And also a space for our partners to come in and understand better about how these merchants are operating their business. Maybe there's white space that they can build for. Adam from Recurate, I mean, he's a great example of someone who's building in a really unique white space for this resale economy. And I think that's really cool. And I think that there's a lot of opportunity for our partners to create tech solutions in the social enterprise space. I mean, there's not a whole lot going on. I mean, it's still relatively new. That's not to say there's not exciting things happening. There certainly is. But I think it's a really great opportunity for tech partners as well to join in this community and really learn what the needs of our merchants are so they can build for that.
Katie, in the time that you've been at Shopify, how do you think the space has changed? If you look at the intersection of corporate social responsibility, social impact, and Shopify's role and prioritization of social impact, how has it shifted?
I would say, 5 years ago, no one was really talking about this idea of social impact and commerce being able to live together. It was always kind of an idea that was mutually exclusive from one another. And I think that, more businesses are learning that they can use the power of their companies and the power of commerce to really make a difference in the world, which is really, really exciting. I mean, whether, businesses are changing the way that they're sourcing, the way that they're packaging, or even on the other side is like, are they giving back to their communities? And, wanting to make a difference that way. I think that there is a lot more businesses really harnessing this incredible power that their business has on their communities and on the world. Even just with the launch of our offset app, a lot more businesses are starting to have this conversation where they're really starting to realize, that shipping is having an effect on climate, and they want their business to be a part of this conversation, which we didn't see a few years ago.
So what's interesting is, your role and your really department is only 2 years old. And the prioritization of this from Shopify, I think Shopify obviously being the trend center here and really driving the industry forward, that when Shopify prioritizes something and sees a trend and sees an opportunity, that it becomes top of mind for merchants and it becomes top of mind for retail in general. And you guys kind of set the pace there. And your role being only 2 years old, I think is really an incredible milestone for the organization that you guys have prioritized, put budget against growing social enterprises. When we look at how merchants are thinking about this though, and thinking about social impact and cause marketing. How do you think merchants are thinking about this today? And do you think there's an opportunity to improve, grow, shift their mindset here?
Yeah, I mean, when you think about the industry in general, like commerce, I mean, some merchants are thinking about it a lot and some aren't thinking about it at all. And it's not just nothing wrong with people that aren't thinking about it at all. It's just, I think that for them, you know, becoming a social impact business is really time consuming. It's really complex. And right now, frankly, it's pretty inaccessible. A lot of them are just trying to get up and running, pay the bills, start shipping, things like that. And so I'm going to paraphrase Toby. So this isn't a quote from Toby by any means, but, and I mean, it kind of comes across in the way that he built Shopify, but if you make it easy, people will want to do it. And so my job and where I think that there's a lot of opportunity for growth and improvement is this idea of becoming a sustainable social enterprise easier and more accessible.
I love that.
So yeah, I mean, we started with community. That was kind of the first goal is to bring people together, to allow them to scale the knowledge sharing and for us to be able to learn more about what they need and what they want in this space. And I think, you know, going into the next couple years, it's going to be, you know, trying to figure out how we can, you know, bite off pieces of the pie so that we can make certain elements of growing these types of businesses way easier. And through, you know, the amazing network of Shopify.
Love it. How do you think, obviously we have to talk about COVID, but how do you think COVID has changed merchants' reactions and need to bring social impact into their business?
It was amazing. I mean, despite the fact that it was a pandemic, which was horrible, it was just amazing to see so many brands, you know, step up and, you know, help their communities in such an amazing way. Brands were starting to take percentage of their sales. They're donating it to things like the food bank and shelters and things like that. There's folks that were making masks, you know, delivering care packages. And it was amazing. It was like all of a sudden overnight, half the brands, you know, became a social enterprise without even thinking that that's what they were doing. My call to action though is, you know, while it's been really incredible to watch businesses harness this power of commerce to help out their communities during COVID, imagine the impact you would have if you donated that 10% to the food bank all the time, even if it's not a pandemic, or the impact you're making on your community if you're sending out volunteers or sending out care packages to those hospital workers or whatever is in need at the time. I think that it's great that COVID kind of shook us up a little bit and was like, hey, you know, we need each other. But just imagine the amazing impact businesses could have on the world if they didn't do it just for a pandemic.
And I completely agree with that. I think that what is interesting is if you look at the stats, if you see the 2023 of e-commerce scale arrived in the laps of, you know, merchants and retailers in Q2 of 2020. And with that came the demands of the consumer. And the demands of the consumer in today's age, we call it generation impact, you know, millennials, Gen Z, primarily, largest buying power, that with that came the demand that they're microphilanthropists. They are looking beyond the brand product and they're looking at what the brand stands for, who the people are behind the brand, that about us page. Their time on site is going up and they're being more mindful about where they're spending their dollar because dollars are tighter and they're looking for retailers to help create that impact and offset that impact during, you know, these turbulent times. And then when you look at the compounding effect of, you know, social injustice, I think that you and your team, you know, Harley, I follow on Instagram, and he does an incredible job of highlighting Black-owned businesses and having a really strong effort to take a, you know, minority in e-commerce and elevate and empower their growth and using his individual channels to push them forward and bring, you know, more opportunity to individuals who may not have the network or the dollars to fund it. And I think it's incredible to see how individuals are taking it underneath their own scope to drive the businesses forward and really empower individuals, which is at the root of Shopify.
Oh yeah, totally. And with that, like going back into cause marketing a bit, just like a comment on that is like, because people want to vote with their dollars, because consumers are becoming more savvy, you know, vague statements like ethically sourced or sustainable products isn't really going to cut it anymore. You really need to start sharing more details about how your products are made, or maybe it's not how they're made or packaged. Maybe it's like more about, you know, what you're doing with your revenues once products are sold. But greenwashing is becoming more prevalent, as you know, when you're thinking about cause marketing and really drilling down into your marketing strategies for the next year. It's like these consumers want to know the real story, and they're not going to just click buy because you said it's ethically sourced.
Exactly. And I understand that from a merchant perspective, from the seller perspective. It's not, you know, there's a massive amount of drop shippers and print on demand, and it's hard for them to control that supply chain. And there's a need for that and a want for that in the ecosystem, right? There's a ton of people who are buying from those merchants. If they weren't buying, they wouldn't exist. And there wouldn't be a demand for that. But owning that supply chain is very difficult, right? They don't have that final touch point. So what can they be doing with their dollars, and what can they be doing to communicate that is, you know, the cause marketing side, or maybe is the carbon emission side, using, you know, Shopify's app to drive that offset of emission so that there is some impact being created. And I think that the customer knows when it's being whitewashed, but there's still a cognitive consonance. There's still an idea that having it there is better than not having it there. And if there's an opportunity to create impact, whether you're just starting or you're a brand rooted in impact, it is being looked at and identified as the customer. And I think that there's absolutely room for growth. But I also want to be, I don't want to discourage merchants from taking that one step to add the app to do, whether it be a cause marketing app like Shopping Gives or your offset app, that is not the right step forward, because I believe it is. You know, there's a point to start, and I'm super aligned with you on that.
100%. And Shopify is like very, very much aligned in terms of like, start somewhere. Like There's no such thing. I say this all the time. There's no such thing as 100% sustainable business, and there never will be.
Correct.
And so if you're focused too much on being perfect rather than starting, then yeah, you're not.
Don't let perfect get in the way of progress. When you think about social impact, one step at a time. And I completely agree with that. What are some examples of merchants that you maybe personally shop at that you love, that we can call out here, that are doing a good job, you know, whether that be in cause marketing and donations or giving back, you know, or sustainability or telling a story? Give me some of your favorite merchants out there that are on Shopify.
I had the privilege of speaking to their VP of sustainability. So Mara Hoffman, wow. Like obviously they're a larger brand, but they're harnessing their size to create social impact, which I think is so incredible. So they obviously, a lot of their materials, they've done a lot of research into making sure that they're sustainably sourced, they're made from sustainable materials, and also the people that are creating their garments are being paid properly and things like that. And so to do this, for the most part, it's pretty expensive to get this type of material. We've seen that a lot. And so a lot of smaller brands, they can't jump into this space because they can't meet the minimums, or they can't afford the product at all. And so what Mara Hoffman's done, and they've talked about on a number of instances, is they've created these buying networks where they've invited smaller brands to come in and to join in on like their PO so that they can buy their smaller quantities under larger quantities so that they can afford it at a smaller price, but still be able to have those sustainable materials. It's like, that's so incredible. Like, imagine if you've made it and you've become this larger brand, and you can then help these smaller brands get up and running and making these sustainable choices that maybe you couldn't in the beginning because it was too expensive or too inaccessible. And so they're really like, I love it because it's so very Shopify. Like, they're reducing barriers to social entrepreneurship, and they're doing it in the way that they can as with their buying power. And I think that is so, so cool. Another one that's really awesome it sticks out to me because I just did a quiz through their Instagram for their goddess necklaces, but they're called Awe-Inspired Jewelry. And you go through this whole quiz. And then at the end, they're asking me what causes are important to me. And they list. And so, you know, I picked out, I think it was like mental health and some others. And then at the end, they tell you like what my goddess is. I was Mulan, by the way, and in case anyone's wondering. And then they tell me that, you know, because I find these particular causes important, I can then donate, pick that, you know, 20% or whatever it was, will go to that particular cause. And I just thought that that was so genius because it's going that step beyond to engage customers in feeling like they're making a difference, which is so creative. And it's like, I wish more people where I was buying from, I wish I was having more of an experience like that, because it's one thing to, you know, read it on a banner on their store and be like, oh yeah, that's amazing. But then to go through this quiz and be asked like, what's important to me? And then realize that I can, you know, give back in a way that's important to me. I thought that that was just really unique. So
I love that.
That was sticking out to me.
That's fantastic. I'll say that one of the my favorite activations that I've seen is that, and this is a newer type of activation, but really bringing the experience of loyalty into the conversation and making a part of their really whole mission is Blind Barber. I don't know if you've seen their site, but Blind Barber does an incredible job of including impact throughout, really similar to what you just said with Mara Hoffman, their entire customer journey. So they're giving back a percentage of proceeds to our rescue, which is really contributing to children who are, you know, sex slaves and abducted for various, you know, just the craziness of children being abducted and sold into different sex slave industries. And so they're putting a lot of dollars to work there, but they're also enabling their customers to use loyalty points to redeem those donations, which I think is a very unique and interesting way to engage the customer back into the conversation. So two great examples of merchants creating impact. What do you think is next in social impact? Where do you think the industry is going?
We didn't have a chance to talk about it, but the resale economy is just exploding.
Yeah.
And so
you mentioned Recurate, or Adam's company is called Recurate or Recart now?
Recurate.
Yeah, Recurate. So that circular economy. I mean, what was the quote? It's like 78% of textiles in pre-production are actually going to waste. And then the post-production, you know, it was extremely limited before, you know, in if you're not a large retailer to get that kind of circular economy going. And I think there's a huge opportunity there, like you were saying.
Oh, yeah, totally. And I think the other opportunity that maybe hasn't been fully realized is that whole idea of branded resale. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of companies are kind of donating to these larger companies that are either reselling it for them, or, you know, it's being shredded and turned into rags or insulation and things like that. But this whole idea that you can own and run and operate your own branded resale. So that's why I think it's so interesting about Recurate, you know, and some brands are already doing this at a smaller scale where it's like come back into the store, bring your clothes back, and we'll resell them, and then you get, you know, like a gift card or something. But I think that there's a lot of possibility for this idea of brands owning more of their resale market, and, you know, because they can make money off of it as well, which is also a plus. But yeah, I think that that's going to be interesting. And I think, I don't know, thinking more about Mara Hoffman, I think that the more the space grows, the amazing thing about social enterprises is like, it doesn't matter who these businesses are or where they're from, they love this idea of helping others. And like, it's just, it's ingrained in who they are as businesses. And so, I don't know, I think that there's something here with this economies of scale with larger industry players and maybe brands who have, you know, gotten to a certain size, realizing that they have this incredible power to help smaller brands. Because, yeah, I've seen it time and time again with merchants. Like, it doesn't even matter if they're almost competing in the same market space. Like, they're still more than happy mm-hmm. to help these other brands become more sustainable. Because at the end of the day, like, that's why they became a business. And so they're more than happy to help more businesses become even more sustainable by helping them out, whatever that is. But I think that there's something interesting about this economies of scale.
I love it.
Yeah. So that's where I'm thinking.
Great. And where can listeners go to learn more about Shopify and their efforts of social enterprise, and how can they get involved?
Exciting news. We are launching 4 Compass courses on our Compass Academy in the new year with our partners at Slow Factory. So it's all about launching and growing a social enterprise on Shopify. But also it's relevant for businesses that maybe are thinking about pivoting as well. So this isn't just for people starting out. It's for brands that maybe would like to become more socially minded, but aren't really sure where to start. So this is a really great course to start at. So take a look in the new year that's coming. But yeah, if you want to head over, Shopify.com/environment is kind of where a lot of our information lives. And we also have a Slack channel that Ronnie was talking about. And so if you want to sign up for that, you can head on over to our community forum, and it's listed in there, because we'd love to have you. I don't know, Ronnie, if you have like an email list, but you're more than welcome to send out the sign up for our Slack channel, because the more the merrier.
We'll definitely include that in the post recap here of how to sign up for the Slack channel. So definitely check out the write-up on this podcast, and we'll include a link to that. But Katie, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing your insights and your perspective on the social impact. I think it's a very exciting time for retailers to really get involved and go deeper into their mission and their values and bring forth the, you know, what they stand for and engage their customers in a new way that is meaningful, and that it's never too early to get involved with social impact, you know, one step at a time. And, you know, one incremental step is better than no step. Thank you again.
Thank you. Thanks, Ronnie. I loved it.
Of course. You've been listening to The Impact Exchange, a podcast where we discuss the intersection of all things corporate social responsibility and retail. Don't forget to subscribe and check out our medium.com/The Impact Exchange to learn about all things happening and all future podcasts and recordings and discussions and resources on social impact and how you can engage customers more authentically. My name is Ronnie Sage, and I'm your host. Have a great holiday season and an impactful one at that.